when we look at this morning, sometimes we get into settings and sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But you know, I think it's helpful that when we're communicating that we all have the same vocabulary. Today we're talking about stewardship and giving. Now, some of you, I hope you're not tired of the stewardship. But you know, honestly, when I started in ministry, stewardship, I could maybe come up with two messages and that was about it. But as you grow and as you pastor and as you grow with churches, you realize, wow, stewardship is really everywhere, isn't it? Because God's resources are everywhere. And everywhere that we meet Him, we have opportunity to use His resources. So let me just go over, and this is going to be the last one in the series, okay? I had five, so let's look very quickly at what we covered. First of all, we talked about what is stewardship. Stewardship is simply the obedience to God's and a witness to God's sovereignty. He owns it all. It belongs to Him, so therefore we handle all that we have, all that will pass through our hands, as if it is His. Amen? Number two, a faithful steward. Well, what is that? A stewardship is responsibility with accountability. We know that we will give an account and answer to God for how we have handled His resources. Number three, stewardship of the gospel message. We talked about stewards will love the gospel message, remain loyal to the message, and joyfully share the message. Amen? Now, it doesn't mean we're all there. Doesn't mean that we're all accomplishing it everything perfectly. But I shared with you that if you don't know how to share the gospel, I can help you. Amen? You remember that? Okay, nobody's asked, so I just want to make sure you remember that. That we can teach you in a very simple way. I'm not going to spend 3 years teaching how to share the gospel. I can do it with just a few weeks, and you will have confidence. It will make sense, and you can do it all in one hand. I'm serious. That's really how they present it. They present it on one hand. Anyway, number four, stewardship involves a commitment to others. Stewardship is not doing something for God with your resources, but doing something for others with His resources, okay? So we've talked about what it is that we do with ours. How do we be a stewardship of us and our personal things at home and our work and our talents and our abilities and skills, all that God has given us, and we use it for Him. But then also we're reminded that we do so for one another, amen? And selling toilet paper for $500 on Facebook is not good stewardship. It's amazing how I get stuck on these ridiculous things, but I yell at my computer and I yell at my TV and I don't know, maybe it helps. It doesn't help my wife, but maybe it helps me some. So, stewardship and giving today is our message. Our key for today, stewards faithfully give by trusting God with the first and best of their material goods. Dedicated to grace giving, which is giving in proportion to the grace God has given. And you're going to hear that a few times throughout the message. Grace giving. Grace giving. I don't believe that we give and tithe because of the law. I don't believe that we try and attempt to obey the law in order to gain righteousness of God. The law condemns. The law is a mirror that you and I look into, and it shows where your hair's messed up. It reminds us of all these age spots that we develop. It reminds us that I didn't clean my eyes out when I woke up this morning. I look a mess. I've got to do something. Now, granted, on days off, oh my goodness, if you saw me, you'd run. I don't do any of those things. I just, my hair stands up this tall, and I look like death warmed over. But it's my day off. I don't have to impress anybody. But in our spiritual lives, we don't want to do that. Amen? We don't want to look into God's Word and walk away the same way that we found ourselves. We want to walk away and say, God, I need You. And He comes. The same way in our giving, the law says this is what you should give. And because of that instruction, because of that direction, we obey. We obey. But it doesn't gain you righteousness. It doesn't make you a better person. Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, His shed blood brings righteousness to our lives. Amen? And so this is an act of faithfulness in stewardship, in obeying God's plan and purpose, but more than that, acting in faith. You remember in the key, as we said, that we are entrusting God with our first and our best in everything that comes into our hands. Amen? Are we on the same wavelength? Can I just give you an example? I haven't had it here, but in places that I've been before, we'll say, church, we need a phone in the office. Oh, and someone says, oh, pastor, I've got a phone. I got a phone. And they say, oh, that's great. So they bring the phone. You know what they did? They went and bought a new digital phone with the built-in digital answering service. You know, this is even dating. I mean, who even has that? Well, maybe some of us do. But cell phones don't really need anymore. But I thought, they bought themselves a brand new digital, and they bring to me, it had to be from the 50s. I mean, it was big enough, you could hurt someone with this thing. Or go fishing. It'd be a good anchor, Rodney. We'd go fishing with it. Rotary. You know how painful it is in these days to use a rotary phone? They're all nines, of course, you know, 999. Oh, my goodness. And I'm like, oh, bless your heart. Now, if that was the only phone they had, and it blessed their heart to give, then give it. You see where I'm going with this? Give the brand new digital one to church. Give your best, not your 35-year leftovers. Are you with me? I want you to know, I'm kind of that way sometimes too. I'll go through the day and say, oh, Lord, I haven't spent as much time, and Lord, I'm just kind of tired. You know, nobody else will accept that. A boss wouldn't accept that. A spouse wouldn't accept that. The kids aren't going to accept that. Why should God accept that? Amen? Are you with me? Sometimes we go through the whole week, we say, oh, Lord, I've had to work so much overtime. I had to do this, I had to do this, and I had to do this. Well, did you eat? Well, yeah, I got to eat to live, yeah. Did you drink water? Yeah, I drank water. You got to drink water to live, right? Folks, I think in God's people's hearts and minds should be, I've got to be with Christ to live. Amen? I've got to be with Him. It becomes a priority, doesn't it? But let me encourage you in something too, is that stewardship doesn't just come natural. You know, I was blessed with that as a kid growing up. My daddy gave me a quarter and I get to go down in Sunday school and woohoo, Sunday school offering. That's right. I give an offering. A little kid, you know, I took a lot of pride in that. But you know what? It instilled in my mind, you go to the Lord's house with an offering. Oh, that's funny. That's exactly what they said in the Old Testament. And was I doing that out of the Old Testament law? No. I was being trained. It was being ingrained in my mind to give to the Lord. And it became natural. And I praise my parents for that. They did a great job. They did a great job in instilling that, is that it wasn't a fight. I had to learn a few lessons on the way, but it wasn't a fight. It's like, this is what you do. But then I began to enjoy the blessings that came with that. Obedience. So often we're looking for, well, I want to, tell me why I should give. Make me feel good about it. Don't work that way. Obedience. Joy. Action and reaction. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. Number one, grace giving. Do I have to give? Yeah. It's God's design, folks. It's His. He tells us what to do with it. We don't tell Him what to do with it. Are you with me? Some have even challenged me, says, Pastor, there's nowhere in God's Word in the New Testament that it demands that Gentiles are to give a tenth. And you know what I tell them? You're right. It doesn't. And early in my ministry, very brilliant man. He was way above me in intelligence level. He was brilliant. But he put me to the task and said, yeah, you show me. And so I went to him. I said, yeah, you're right. I can't show you. But what it does show me is that the New Testament church never stopped giving and tithing in the Lord's church. But more than that, we can see that Abraham gave to Melchizedek in the book of Genesis before the law was ever given. And he gave a tenth of the spoils from a battle to Melchizedek, which, if you all remember, was a type of Christ, having no beginning and no end. He was a type of Christ being our eternal high priest. But he gave a tenth to Melchizedek as an offering to the Lord. So tithing was before the law, during the law, after the law, into the covenant of grace. And the church never stopped doing it. The Lord's people never stopped doing it. But then I come to a realization, is that it's based on grace giving. Now that we're under the covenant of grace, it's no longer a number. It's no longer a demand. It has become grace giving. And when you compare that to the law, in fact, if you want to live under grace, according to grace, Jesus gave 100%. He gave it all. So under grace, we shouldn't be giving a tenth. We should be giving it all. Amen? So if you really want to go under grace, let's do it. Let's go. That's where we need to be. And so as I present this message, it's not a, I'm demanding and I'm going to take the law and I'm going to throw it at you and this is how it's going to be. But yet it is a tenth. Anywhere that you see when it talks about tithe, by definition, it means a tenth. That's what tithe means. And in the Old Testament, they would give the first of their crops. They would have a great harvest. They would give a tenth. They give the first of their crops. They give a first. If they have a lamb that was born, a calf that was born, they give the first. They give the best. Remember, God would talk to Israel, and at times their love for the Lord would just grow less and less and colder and indifferent to the Lord. And they even got to the point that they would go out into their flocks and they would say, that's a really good stock. You know, I want to breed that one. Oh, what's that one limping over there? He looks a little rough. Hey, let's take that to the temple and we'll give that one to the Lord. And the Lord's like, no. Because you know what that was a picture of? Every sacrifice that they took to the temple was a picture of the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the one true Lamb that would come, the one true Lamb that was perfect and holy and sinless, and He would be that perfect sacrifice to allow us to be free from our sin. God didn't give His second best. Neither should we. Amen? Okay, so you're with me. You're with me. So tithing is not just an Old Testament thing, but it is a thing for us today. It is something that continues today. The difference for a Christian in the New Testament is simply that we are under grace. So how do we give? We give each time that we're paid or we're blessed. We give of every opportunity. For some, that's weekly. Some, that's biweekly. Some, that's once a month. Whatever it may be, we give each time that we receive. You get a bonus. You get opportunities. You give. Are you with me? We give personally as individuals. We bring it into the storehouse of the Lord so that the Lord's church will grow. Let's read our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." So you see, as we see that he is telling the church, at this time in the church of Corinth, they were collecting for the church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been under hard times, and they're starving. They need help. Paul communicates this to the church of Corinth. And so the church of Corinth is like, we want to help. We want to do something. We want to give. In fact, we're going to be able to pull together a great offering, and we're going to send it. Well, Paul writes back to them and says, remember, you said that you wanted to give to Jerusalem, and so I'm expecting that when we come, well, I'm going to send people to receive that offering. I don't want it to be an embarrassment to you or us, but you start, and you start collecting every week. You lay aside, you lay aside, you lay aside every week and prepare. Because see, there was a lot of Jews that were going around and trying to disperse a false teaching throughout the area and trying to discredit Paul, trying to discredit the New Testament church. And it was causing confusion. And so Paul writes back and say, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't let them influence you. But give to the Lord. Help your brothers and sisters and start laying aside each week and preparing as you're taking. And so as they pull together, notice he says that I want you to lay aside each as one gives as he purposes in his heart. Now here's again, I think that we use the scripture to guide us is that some would say that, well, you know, I just want to throw in a couple bucks. And you know, God says, you know, whatever I purpose in my heart, that's good enough. You know, I don't know if it was Adrian Rogers, one of them pastors that I really like to listen to, he said, he made this statement one time of, If you throw more on the table to leave a tip for a waitress than you do in the offering plate at church, you've got a spiritual problem. And I'm like, whoa, wow, that's, I hadn't thought about that. But when we begin to look at it, so then this is where the instruction of the law reminds us. It says, if you're going to claim to give a tithe, then it must be a tenth, not a third or an eighth or a sixteenth or something like that. It has to be a tenth if you're going to call it a tithe and do what God is instructing you to do. Does that make sense? And so sometimes people are always asking, well, how much is enough and how much should I give? And really, this is where we start. Amen? This is where we start. And so as they're giving, as there's purpose in their heart, the reason that he's saying is that because we are grace-giving, we're convinced that the grace of God is going to grow you well beyond what that 10% is, right? So as we see that that giving continues, so how is it that we communicate it? Here's some of the terminology that I want you to know is that when I say that when we're giving a tithe, when you're tithing, that is what our finance team budgets on. Okay? Now, I know there's a lot of groups and other churches that will actually ask you to send in your information of how much you make, and then they tally or calculate how much that you should give for that year. Now, you know, if that's what they choose to do, okay. We're not going to do that here at Lindsay Lane because we don't believe that's biblical, because we believe in grace giving. But yet, here's the reality, folks. If you don't do your part, then ministry suffers. When you look at your paycheck, when you overextend, when you buy the wrong things, or you make financial mistakes, and you use the excuse, well, God, I can't afford to tithe, then the Lord suffers a blessing that he was deserving of. Your church suffers because it didn't receive the blessing that God has enabled you to do, and then you miss a blessing because he's going to return all of that in abundance. So when we come to a place that we say a tithe, that should be constant, okay? That should be continual. That should be regular. And folks, I stay out of what people are giving. I stay out of that because I'm human. I don't want that to influence me. I want to treat every one of you as if I don't have a clue because it doesn't matter, right? I need to minister to every one of you equally, and I determined to do that. But our finance team, as they look at everything, they come to realize is that if everyone would do their part, there would be no financial needs. But here's the thought. Each time, which I'm thankful for, we have a special emphasis. Life Word, missions. We have building projects, some huge building projects. That was just amazing how everyone responded. That everybody just responds incredibly. But then when we look at the bulletin and we see on the very back the budget for the month, it would fall short. It would fall short. It would fall short. And then someone would jump in and they throw a little extra on top. And again, I have no idea who it was. And it's like, glory be, praise the Lord. But yet we keep hearing that if everyone would do their part, certain ones wouldn't have to pick up that extra load. Are you with me? And again, I know, kind of preaching to the choir, but we got to go here. Here's the thing. When I say tithe, that's your constant offering and it shouldn't change unless you get a raise or whatever the Lord blesses you with. That's your constant tithe. And you know what? When our finance team sits down together, they're not going to grow ministry. We're not going to say, hey, we have an opportunity. We can bring someone on staff to help us minister in this area and grow in this area when we're looking at the finances and we're barely getting by. Amen? But if the tithes are consistent, then they're going to make wise decisions that we're not going to put a burden on the people that they can't bear. Are you with me? So the consistency of our giving to the Lord really determines and gives us a direction of how that we might grow in ministry. Now, is this to say that God can't provide? No. But when we give in consistency, and that's our second point, is how that we give, when we actually give on a consistent level, but then that begins to develop into a deeper grace giving. You remember in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The reality of who we are, we will invest in that which we love the most. We will invest in that which we love the most. You ever see a bachelor? You go into their house, they don't have a single dish in the whole cabinets, in the kitchen, nothing to clean with. But you go into the living room And wow, you get a sunburn from the TV. It's like 80 inches and it takes up an entire wall. And he's got a sound system that will part your hair the other way if you need it to. And it's like, wow, he's a bachelor. I got one right now that every time I go to his house, I just go, man, you are a bachelor. And they're just, if you like all this stuff, son, don't get married. Just stay like you are, because no woman's going to put up with this. Good grief. He is a bachelor. Just take my word. He's a bachelor. And so I tease him. It's obvious the things that he likes, that's what he invests in wholeheartedly. Folks, can people see our lives and say, wow, they really love the Lord? Now I know that giving is not the only thing, but yet, you know, there was a young, an elderly lady that walked down the aisle one day and gave just two little bitty pennies. While all these religious leaders coming down, and man, they're slamming down bags of money, massive amounts of money, and she just throws two little tinkles that nobody ever heard. And Jesus said, you know what? Did you see her? Disciples like, yeah, we saw her. She gave more than all of them. And they're all thinking, not on my calculator, Lord. She didn't give much at all. But yet he reveals she gave out of her need. She gave out of her necessity. They gave out of their abundance. They didn't even feel it. She gave sacrificially. That's grace giving. The others were giving a tenth. She was giving it all. Are you with me? That's grace giving. So let me, there's 4 points I want to ask. We give from the heart. That was Luke 12:34. We give consistently. We talked about giving that each week or each pay period that you have. We give joyfully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, right there in verse 7 in our text. He loves a cheerful giver. You know what that word cheerful is? It's where we get our word hilarious, which suggests that God loves a heart that is so enthusiastically thrilled and is pleasured by giving. Man, we've missed a lot of that sometimes in our spiritual lives, haven't we? And then we give by faith. We are entrusting that God can broaden the borders and areas of ministry and influence our community for Christ when we give to Him. We give by faith and knowing that He's going to bring about the abundance. The results of giving, we see in Galatians chapter 6, starting with 6, he says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not, what? Don't lose heart. You know, right now we've been hearing nothing but on the news, oh, it's a collapse and our economy's going to collapse. And it's all coming apart and oh, everything's just going terrible and terrible. I want to ask you something. Did it even budge or even move you from the thought of not giving to the Lord today? Not me. Can I say that God has blessed me in incredible ways that I don't have to sit in my budget and make those decisions? There's a lot of extras that I could give up a lot sooner than I would be giving up giving to the Lord. And why am I saying that? I'm not bragging to you. I'm not being braggadocious, but where is our priorities? Where our priorities lay determine where the security of our heart is. Are you with me? The worries go away because I'm entrusting the one, the eternal almighty God. I'm entrusting him. I remember Brother Tom McCandless, what a great ministry that he has. And it made an impact on me that he even brought the ideas that God, I'm entrusting you. If I succeed, we'll glorify you. If I fail, I'm blaming you. I'm like, oh, Brother Tom, you can't say that. He can because Brother Tom didn't worry about failing because he put all of his eggs in one basket in the Lord's hand to say, God, I'm yours. You know, when we begin to evaluate things of going on and the difficulties that we face, sometimes we forget and think that, well, God's having trouble. He's not having trouble. In fact, he's just waiting for us to try his word. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me now in this. We're not testing. We're not tempting God. But he says, now try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. Have you ever had a blessing like that? That you just overwhelmed with what God was doing and how He was doing it, and say, we need to share this with somebody. That comes from entrusting the Lord months, years, ages ago. Are you with me? That doesn't just happen overnight, that all of these blessings are poured out, but it is a consistent giving by faith that, God, I'm yours. Do with me as you will. As our musicians are going to come forward this morning, I want to ask you, as a child of God, are you locked into this begrudging necessity that I have to give? Are you locked into this? I want to encourage you to do so from the heart. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor, I've kind of got myself in a tight spot. Well, I've been there. I'm not sure if I can give a tenth. I want to ask you, you and your spouse, pray over your bills. Give it to the Lord. Admit to Him what the mistakes were. And say, God, I'm asking you to give me the wisdom and the fortitude to do this the way that you want it done. I'm telling you, folks, God will do a great work in your life. Sometimes it's not just adding the finances, but yet giving you contentment with godliness is a great gain. Will you pray over that if you're there today? I want to ask you, some of you have been giving in abundance. Maybe you could share with others of how God really is good. Maybe you could share with others and say, it is true. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe you can continue to give because it is through you that God just continues to pour and pour and pour. Wouldn't it be exciting that if we found that every faucet that we turned on was flowing milk and honey? That's why every time in the Scripture said the promised land, when you get there, it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. And you're thinking, what are we going to do with that milky sticky mess? It's wealth is what they were talking about. So could you imagine every faucet you could turn on that might bring wealth? How many would you turn on? Would you just turn on one? I don't know about you, but I'd find every faucet in the house. I'd find every faucet in my neighbor's house. I'd find every faucet in my parents' house. And I'd just keep going down the block, because if we keep opening opportunities for God to work, He just seems to show up over and over. I want to ask you, how many faucets in your life are closed right now when God wants to pour forth His blessing?